About 50 more minutes of this Monday night edition of After Hours coming your way. Logan Weber here with you, my co-host, producer, by all intents and purposes, the all-around guy, Chris Unocero, alongside here. And Chris, you know, I'm only 27 years old, and there are some things that I believe strongly in, but I don't know if I have anything that I have a delusional level of belief in. And I hope that someday I believe in something so wholeheartedly to the extent that Trevor Bauer believes he'll somehow get back into Major League Baseball. Like, the level of delusion from this man is unbelievable. It is unparalleled in a lot of respects in the world of sports right now.
That is a man that's desperate for a job.
That dude is something.
He is desperate to make the kind of money he was making before.
In a way that only Trevor Bauer can navigate. The news comes out today that Gerrit Cole is out for the rest of this year with Tommy John surgery. He'll also probably miss a chunk of next year, too. And somebody on Twitter, at Dan Clark Sports, who is, you know, was complaining about all the things going on with the Yankees, right? Lewis Gill's injured, Gerrit Cole, Giancarlo Stanton, all these things, right? And Trevor Bauer says, do you need a Cy Young starting pitcher for $0? Trevor, let's not be disingenuous here, bro. You want a Cy Young, yes. 5 years ago, you haven't pitched in Major League Baseball since 2021. Dude, give it up. It's not going to happen at this point. It's just not. And I'm not going to sit here and say one way or the other what's, you know, the off-the-field stuff and the allegations against him. Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that this man is 34 years old and he hasn't pitched in Major League or Minor League Baseball in 4 years. You're not going to get back to Major League Baseball, dude. It's not going to happen. Can you please just let a sleeping dog lie here a little bit, man? It's not going to happen. It's just not.
I respect the hustle. I mean, I do. I respect. Hey, it ain't a lot of athletes that go out there. Like I think the only one I've seen that's doing that more is like T.O. Like, T.O. is always volunteering his services for wide receiver needy teams out there. I respect the hustle, but ain't nobody gonna mess with him anymore. He's too much trouble. Like, the allegations really messed him up in the first place. But then on top of that, it's like he hasn't even looked good in the very few appearances that he's made as of late, unless he's pitching against guys who are not major league hitters, who are just dudes out on the street that he's pitching against. And even then, sometimes they still hit on him. So it's like, at this point now, I respect the hustle, but there's no reason why any team is going to, no team is going to take that kind of risk to their reputation, to their team chemistry that they already have, by signing someone who's going to be a major distraction to their team, especially when you're talking about this close to the season. It ain't happening.
Somebody in the text line, our number is 913-586-7965. He said he still tops at 98. STFU. That's who?
Is this Trevor Bauer's? What? Is Trevor Bauer's burner number?
Right? Trevor Bauer tops 98. Are you out of your mind? His average four-seam his last year of Major League Baseball, again, 4 years ago, was just under 94. But you're telling me that Trevor Bauer's topping at 98. Yeah, one out of every 600 pitches, maybe. Sure. Don't sit here and pretend like Trevor Bauer's going to come in and suddenly be a... Dude, he'll be lucky to have a sub-4 ERA as a starter if he comes back to Major League Baseball. And that's being generous. Again, 913-586-7965. I just saw that on Twitter and kind of wanted to just poke fun for a minute, but we'll move on. Again, the NFL got no shortage of news stories to get to today. We talked about Josh Allen and the massive extension that he got with the Bills. It is the most lucrative guaranteed money deal in the history of the NFL. And the Buffalo Bills got Josh a little bit of help today. They signed Joshua Palmer to a 3-year, $36 million deal. Palmer, of course, played most of his career so far with the Chargers. He was kind of their wide receiver one or wide receiver two last year. He was poised for a big year.
He was a wide receiver two last year.
Yeah,
he was supposed to have a great year,
and then Ladd McConkey arrived.
He did not have a great year. Part of it is because of injury, but also, you know, if he's constantly injured. So,
yes.
Sounds like it's a thing for him.
He's big body. I mean, he's got great size and good speed, 6'1", 210 at the receiver position, but like you said, the injuries have kind of plagued him throughout his career. He had 39 catches for 584 yards and a touchdown last year. I guess try to give him a little bit of help, see if it works. I don't think it's going to, not to the extent that they want it to, but it's an outside receiver where you can leave Khalil Shakir in at your slot where he's at his best. And then you've got your rookie wide receiver, Keon Coleman, kind of as that other outside receiver.
I think this move, though, doesn't look good for Keon Coleman. Because if they really thought Keon was that dude, why would you spend that kind of money like that?
Yeah.
Like, if you really thought that Keon was really that dude, why you keep paying contracts like this? Because you did it with Curtis Samuel last year as a supplemental guy. And you paid Khalil Shakir this offseason. Now you're out here passing out money to Joshua Palmer, who's probably going to play like 9 or 10 games and have under 600 receiving yards. And you got a rookie wide receiver on your squad that... Oh, now he's going to be a second-year wide receiver that basically his strategy when he runs routes is to hold on to the corner so he can get a DPI. Like, to me, that's not a good sign for him. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but, like, to me, it just seems like when you're trying to create these supplemental moves like that, it's because you're not very confident in what you have. Because that's a lot of money for Josh Palmer.
That is a lot. $12 million a year for Joshua Palmer is a lot. That's not
big money.
Yeah, that's like, not a depth wide receiver. That is a guy you want on the field at least 60% of the snaps.
That's a pretty healthy middle-class contract for a guy that might play half the season.
Right. Right. No doubt about it. Here's one that I don't understand. Myles Garrett might be... He's a guy who talks so much about winning and about how winning is the most important thing to him, and then has done pretty much nothing in his career to prove that winning is all that matters to him. A couple weeks ago, he's like, hey, I want out. He's requesting a trade from the Cleveland Browns. He requests a meeting with Jimmy Haslam. Haslam says no. These two sides are so far apart. Myles Garrett wants out. I want to go to a contender. I want to win. I want to compete for Super Bowls. Oh, wait, you're going to pay me how much? Oh, okay. I guess I'll let bygones be bygones. Myles Garrett back to Cleveland in exchange for a record-setting $40 million per year deal over the course of 4 years. $123.5 million guaranteed. Myles Garrett is now the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League for a 4-13 football team. Was this all a ploy to get more money, Miles? Or did you just ignore the fact that you've been on crummy football teams your entire career and in exchange for, oh, that's a lot of zeros on that check you're offering there, bud?
I will never criticize an athlete for taking a lot of money because if I was in that situation and I knew a team didn't want to trade me and they were willing to offer me an absurd amount of money to stay, I mean, I got my whole life to live. I mean, I can get it. I can understand that point. Here's my thing, though. It doesn't make a lot of sense for the Browns. You're not winning anytime soon. If you take Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward in the draft, that either of those guys is not going to be able to do what Jaden Daniels did for the Commanders this year. You're not getting Patrick Mahomes in year two. You're not getting that. You're not getting instant impact, going to take you to the playoffs, make you a potential contender. You're not getting CJ Stroud in 23 type impact. You're getting a guy that's going to take a couple years to really kind of figure the league out. And he's about to be 30 later. At the end of this year, he's going to be 30. How many years do you think you're going to get prime Myles Garrett? probably, what, 2 to 3 more years? So by the time you're ready to compete with whatever quarterback you took in the draft, he's going to be washed. And you're going to be overpaying him a lot of money. You're better off, if you were the Browns, trading him, getting a lot of assets back, because there's a lot of teams out there that have draft capital that would love to have a guy like him. And then they can pay him. He's their problem now, and you can reap that draft capital to rebuild your team. But instead, you were like, hey, let's waste $40 million a year on a player that isn't going to help us win games because our team is so bad all around. And he's a great player, but having one great edge rusher and that's it basically on your defense ain't going to win you a whole lot of games.
Yeah, and your other two corresponding moves of the weekend are trading for Kenny Pickett and cutting Dalvin Tomlinson. So you make Myles Garrett's life a little bit more difficult along that defensive line because a guy like Tomlinson is not going to be taking away any eyes anymore and, you know, maybe taking a few double teams from you or a few chip blocks from you. I just don't understand the grandstanding from Myles Garrett, that big long statement that he puts out on social media about, I want to go play for a winner and he's talked about it his whole career. He's like, I want to win a Super Bowl. The most important thing to me is winning Super Bowls and all the, if that was true, then why does it matter the amount of money that the Browns are throwing at you? Like if you want to go win, re-signing with a 3-14 football team who is paying Deshaun Watson tens of millions of dollars to sit and try to rehab another injury in a deal that made no sense when you first made it in an ownership group that you have no respect for. I can't understand this move from Myles Garrett's standpoint other than the monetary side.
All I know is $40 million is a lot of damn money to make every year.
It is.
That is a lot. What is it, 120 guaranteed?
120 guaranteed, that's 4 years, 160.
That's a lot of damn money to make. Guaranteed. Like, they can't get out of that unless you let them get out of it. You promised me $120 million more dollars? Okay, I might be able to work around that. I don't need a Super Bowl that bad. $120 million?
If that's what you should hope for.
Hey, I like I said, I get it. I'm a Real Madrid fan. Kylian Mbappe back in 22, he had an opportunity to go play for my Real Madrid. He opted to stay at PSG because they offered him like $175 million a year. I get it. He didn't win anything at PSG. And he watched Madrid win 2 Champions Leagues while he was making $175 million. I wasn't mad at him because you know what? That's a lot of damn money to make.
Yeah.
So I get it.
For a guy who talks so much about winning and his legacy, your Super Bowl chances are at pretty much a zero unless you can stay healthy through the end of this deal and hit the free agent market at 33 and 34 and hope that you can sign with a contender and try to get a Super Bowl in the twilight years of your career. It's just kind of questionable. 913-586-7965. We've got a lot of messages in the text line here that I want to take a look at. When we come back, you're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I mean, I know it's only March 10th, but I would love to see what the odds are right now in the NFC West for the Los Angeles Rams to win that division next year. Because the way I look at it right now, I think the Rams are the favorites to win that division. The Seattle Seahawks are blowing up that organization. I mean, they picked up Sam Darnold, but they cut Tyler Lockett. They traded DK Metcalf. They've cut a bunch of other guys. I don't know. There's a lot of questions to be had. They've got 3 wide receivers on their roster right now. That's it for the Seattle Seahawks. And we were talking about it during the break because we got some more news. The San Francisco 49ers are blowing up their organization.
Top 10 next year in the draft. They are about to be bad.
They are letting guys go left and right. Charvarius Ward signed with the
Colts.
Talanoa Hufanga is going to the Broncos. Dre Greenlaw signed with the Broncos. Jalen Moore, of course, went to the Chiefs. Elijah Mitchell to the Chiefs. Their backup quarterback, Josh Dobbs, signed with the Patriots. Their starting right guard, Aaron Banks, is going to the Packers. Green Bay Packers. And now, of course, with the Deebo Samuel trade as well, Commanders. Going to the Commanders. Now, according to Adam Schefter, this dropped about 20 minutes ago, the 49ers have informed Kyle Juszczyk that he is being released. So they have gotten rid of several offensive linemen, their top corner, their top safety, one of their top linebackers, and now they are ridding themselves of their fullback. Brock Purdy, ladies and gentlemen, is about to get paid. Paid.
Man, I don't get it. Like, I understand that it's hard to find decent quarterback play in the league. It's something that me and Bing talked about on Character Concerns like a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, about how the quarterback market is going to be crazy. Because it's not a great quarterback draft. You really have two guys that are first-round picks in this quarterback class. Everyone else should not be picked in the first round. Otherwise, you're probably going to get fired in 2 to 3 years. And so that means that guys like Sam Darnold going to get paid. I mean, I do not understand why the 49ers feel like Brock Purdy is worth the money that he's worth. I understand you want to keep him. But like sometimes those numbers to $55 million for Brock Purdy, which is the estimation that people think he's going to get, not worth it. Not worth it. Like the Dolphins screwed their cap up with $52 million a year to Tua Tagovailoa, who isn't good. No. Like, he's not that good.
No, but that's the way that the quarterback market works in the NFL now, where it's like if you think you've got a guy at quarterback that is at least serviceable, you got to pay him because you don't want to risk him going elsewhere.
You don't have to pay him.
You don't have to,
teams
but
you choose to pay them because they're afraid to suck.
You but risk being the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but it's
just recycle quarterbacks year after year after year after year, and none of them are any good.
But the problem is a lot of these teams are like the Cleveland Browns anyways because the Browns did pay a quarterback and he sucked.
I agree.
And you're in cap hell because of it.
I agree. I'm in the same opinion you are. I don't think the Niners should pay Brock Purdy, but they're going to,
yeah,
because they don't want to risk losing Brock Purdy to somewhere else and the possibility of them not being able to find it. I know that people are comparing Brock Purdy to Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's unfair. I think Purdy is a better quarterback than Garoppolo was at any point in his career. But is he much better than Garoppolo? No, he's not a perennial Pro Bowler. He's not anywhere near the level of Mahomes, for sure. And then that next tier of guys with Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, I don't think he's on the same level as a CJ Stroud or a Justin Herbert. But there's risk that comes with letting your quarterback walk and trying to find a replacement. And you're not going to find one in this quarterback class. I'm not sure you're going to find one in next year's quarterback class either.
We'll see. I mean, it's a little early to tell. I mean, it could change.
It could. It absolutely could. And the Niners still have pieces, right? Fred Warner's still there.
I mean, they're getting rid Kittle. Of him.
They are, but I don't think Fred Warner's going anywhere. I don't think Kittle's going anywhere. I think Trent Williams is going to retire a 49er. You're not ridding yourself of Nick Bosa. You just signed Brandon Ayuk to that massive deal last season.
No, they did say that they were willing to. They were looking at potentially trading him. So there's that. Also, Trent Williams is like in his mid-30s, so George Kittle's in his early 30s, so Christian McCaffrey is like almost in his early 30s. Like, they got a lot of aging stars on their team, and they're getting rid of a lot of the really good role players around those stars. Like, their defense is not going to be that good next year because you're not, like, Hufanga was really good. Dre Greenlaw, really good. Charvarius Ward, really good. Three really good players playing somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver probably overspent on Greenlaw and Hufanga, but, you know, it is what it is. It's free agency. But, like, you're not going to have a lot of key pieces.
No, you're not. But with these moves, if they do end up cutting Kyle Juszczyk. They will have, according to overthecap.com, just over $40 million in total salary cap for next season if they want to try and make some moves happen. Not sure how much they're going to be able to get done, but we all know that it's going to come down to eventually they're going to pay Brock Purdy. I think that's what the writing on the wall exudes right now. And somebody in the text line mentioned this, and I'll close out this segment with another story that came out via Adam Schefter during the last break. The Los Angeles Chargers have signed Najee Harris to a one-year deal worth up to $9.2 million, $9.25 million. So the Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a quarterback. They do not have a running back, but they have got DK Metcalf and George Pickens to, maybe if they don't win the game, win the fist fight against the DBs in the parking lot afterwards. I would not want to be a cornerback going against those two for four quarters. Not because I mean, you might get embarrassed by them because they're two pretty outstanding receiver talents, but they're also very, very physical, to the point of being physical before and after the whistle. Najee Harris is coming off of a fourth consecutive 1,000-yard season. And I feel like a lot of people have, I don't want to say it's been completely unwarranted, but I feel like the expectation for Najee Harris was a little bit too strong at points of his career. He's been a reliable and serviceable back in the NFL. Every year he's been a starting, every year he's been in this league, he's had 1,000 yards rushing. He has got 28 rushing touchdowns across 4 years, about seven a season. I am very, very intrigued by the fit of Najee Harris in that Chargers offense with Justin Herbert at quarterback and Jim Harbaugh running the show. I think this is a pretty good pickup by the Los Angeles Chargers, I have to say.
He's not a very efficient runner. I think that's the biggest issue with him. So, you know, I think it's a decent signing. I just, like, there were some people who thought, oh, maybe the Chiefs should go get Najee. No. Not a very efficient runner, and I think he's actually very underrated as a receiver. Like, his rookie year, he killed. Like, I had him in my fantasy league, and he was one of the guys that helped me win the league because he was money as a receiver because all Big Ben did was check down to him because he didn't have any arm strength left. So, I like Najee, but Najee's a guy that he's just not that efficient as a runner. And I think when they're going to probably try to give him a lot of carries early on, because Jim Harbaugh really likes to run the football, and they're going to realize very quickly that he don't have the home run hitting ability that like Dobbins kind of showed last year.
Right. And I'm not sure that's what Jim Harbaugh even wants out of a running back. I mean, Najee Harris is a bell cow. He is a guy that you look at and you can comfortably say, all right, 20 carries every single game.
I don't know if you're giving him 20 carries because he's not that efficient of a runner.
I don't disagree.
Because they started cutting back on his carries and giving him more carries to Jalen Warren because of that.
I mean, he's got almost 1,100 carries over his first 4 years. He is averaging close to 300 carries a season in his time in the National Football League. He has played in every single game that the Steelers have played in since he was drafted. 68 out of 68 he has played and started in. Is he a home run hitter? No. Is he a perennial Pro Bowl All-Pro running back? No. But he gets the job done to an extent. He averages close to 4 yards a carry for his career.
Which is not great.
It's not great, but it's good enough, I guess, for what the Chargers want from him.
I mean, I'll just say this. If you give him more carries, your offense is not going to be that great, because you want guys that are going to be closer to 4.5 plus. Because it's like, otherwise you might as well just throw the football every play. Because it's just not like Mahomes averages like well over 7.5 yards an attempt, not even a completion, an attempt. So it's like, you're getting more value from throwing the football more than you're running the football in that scenario. So you got to get more yards per carry in that situation. That's the problem with guys like Najee.
And one of the things, and here's something that I think you and I are on differing sides of this. I like this signing by the Chargers for Najee Harris.
I think it's fine. I think people are going to overblow the signing a little bit too much because they will look at the stats, but they don't look at the efficiency part of it.
You mentioned how, you know, Najee Harris doesn't give you much and you may want to rely more on the passing game. That is one of the things that I want to point to as why Najee Harris may not have been as efficient as he could be, because the Steelers didn't have one. The Steelers couldn't throw the football. They have not been successful throwing the football since Najee Harris arrived in Pittsburgh. Big Ben didn't really get the job done. Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph didn't do the job. Mitch Trubisky didn't do the job. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields didn't do the job. So Najee Harris is having to contend with being the Steelers' most effective offense, and you're having to deal with 7-8 guys in the box. So going to Los Angeles, having a quarterback like Justin Herbert, who is a weapon as a quarterback, Ladd McConkey as a receiver, the Chargers are going to have to find another wide receiver or two, or maybe even three. Now that Joshua Palmer is gone, you've got Ladd McConkey, and that's kind of it. So the Chargers have a effective enough passing game that I think it will open up things for Najee Harris to a level that he did not see during his time in Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh couldn't throw the football. Outside of George Pickens, they had no passing game to speak of.
Do you know where the Steelers ranked as a passing offense last year?
I have no idea.
28th.
No, that's bad.
The Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers.
The Chargers, yeah. Not the Steelers. The Chargers.
Because they had Ladd McConkey, and that was kind of it.
They still only have Ladd McConkey.
I know, but I'm of the belief with all the salary cap that they have at their disposal, they're going to go after a receiver.
They haven't gone after anybody yet. We've been sitting here. It's been, 9.5 hours since you can start legally tampering with people? I haven't seen them legally tamper with any receivers.
That's fair.
And who's on the market left that they're going to sign that's going to be a huge difference maker?
That's fair. And I also have to say that I think the Chargers have a better offensive line than Pittsburgh had during his time there as well.
They still couldn't throw the football last year. Like they've had ample opportunity to legally tamper with a lot of receivers, and they haven't been able to do it. So.
I can't believe I'm finding myself right now defending both Najee Harris and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I just think that their philosophy, the philosophy of Harbaugh in general, is we're going to run the football and we're going to throw off of the run. And like, I think the teams are going to key in on that anyways. I think that's what they're going to do.
I can't, as a lifelong Chiefs fan, I'm sitting here like actively buying into the Los Angeles Chargers, we make fun of it every year, and I've always made fun of it. And now I'm that guy. What's
happening?
They're
probably going to take some receiver that you like in the draft. You're going to talk yourselves into, oh man, the Chargers might actually be a pretty good playoff team. And you know what? They're going to do the same thing they do every year. They're going to Charger.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it, man.
Oh, dude, they're gonna pick up Dante Thornton in like the third round, and I'm gonna be like,
if they pick Dante Thornton in the third round, they're not gonna be good at all, because that's not a good pick.
I'm intrigued by his size and his speed.
But, yeah, but not in the third round.
That's fair.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If do not do this, do not fall for this. It is March 10th. You have ample time to be real and talk to yourself and have that moment of clarity where you realize that you are not going to fall for the jig like everyone does with the Chargers every year.
I've never done it. I've never fallen for the Chargers are going to win the AFC West.
I don't think I'm going to.
I just am kind of intrigued by this move for the Chargers.
Don't be intrigued. Let them prove it to you first. Don't be intrigued by it now.
All right. I'll do my best to take your advice. 913-586-7965. A lot more NFL news to get to, including a contender trading their blindside. I don't understand it. We'll talk about that next here on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
I cannot for the life of me understand the thought process of Joe Shane. Even a millimeter. So, last offseason, you had an offer put out by Saquon, right? 3 years, $38 million for Saquon to go back to the New York Giants. And you say no. And then a year later, you give Darius Slayton 3 years, $36 million.
Whoa, that was a multi-year deal? I saw that he signed, but I didn't know it was a multi-year deal.
Yes, 3 years for $36 million.
How old is he? 28, 29? What are we doing?
I don't know. Ask Joe Shane.
He got a multi-year deal.
Yes. 28 years old.
3 year deal for 28-year-old Darius.
Yep. 3 years, $36 million for 28-year-old Darius Slayton, who is coming off of a spectacular 39 catch, 573 yard season with two receiving touchdowns.
They were trying to trade him in the middle of the season.
You let a generational talent at running back walk and go win a Super Bowl with arguably your biggest rival.
That is their biggest rival.
And then a year later, sign a guy who caught less than 40 passes for an average annual value of $12 million a year.
Does it say how much guaranteed money's on that?
Let's find it. Let's see exactly how much this Darius Slayton contract is.
Slayton stats, because he has had a grand total of 0,000. Fun fact here. Travis Kelce last year, when he was quote-unquote washed, that season was better than any season that Darius Slayton has had in his illustrious six-year career playing for the New York Giants. Man.
Dude.
Joe Shane. Donating out here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not seeing how much of it is guaranteed, but I just see, 3 years, $36 million.
Somebody said, who's better, Giants or Jets? Man.
Is the gun right an
now,
option?
Right now, the Jets, because they have a quarterback. Who is the Giants quarterback right now? I mean, in a little bit, they'll probably have. I think they prefer Shedeur Sanders because I think he has a higher floor. So maybe they'll be better because I think Justin Fields is going to be a disaster in New York. But I don't know if Shador's going to be good yet. I think he might be, but, you never know. But I'll say this. You got one team that has an owner that is allegedly using Madden ratings to justify whether or not a player should or shouldn't be signed. And you have another team that chose Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley, which I think is equally as bad because Everyone who was being honest with themselves knew that Daniel Jones was not worth $40 million a year.
And knowing the Giants, they're going to find a way to mess this up even worse. And Tommy DeVito is going to be quarterback one next year. I don't know. They're going to somehow keep Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock on the roster and justify having Tommy DeVito be the starter over Drew Lock, which also makes absolutely no sense.
Why did Brian Daboll take that job? I don't even like Brian Daboll because of what happened in 2012 with the Chiefs, but why did he take that job?
Yeah, man, and like he took him to the playoffs with Daniel Jones at quarterback in his first year and has just been handed garbage.
It was
ever since.
He got Matt Castle 2010 out of Daniel Jones, and everyone heralded him as this excellent, excellent offensive coordinator. It's like, man, he had Josh Allen before that. Like, if you're not good with Josh Allen, you really shouldn't be calling plays in this league. And he took over play calling duty last year, and they were terrible.
Yeah. Brian Daboll is the latest example that just because you coached under an outstanding head coach does not mean that you yourself will become one. If there's one thing that we've learned about the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, it's that it's Bill Belichick and everybody else. Josh McDaniel didn't work. Vrabel, I guess he kind of worked.
I think he's a good coach.
He's a
good coach. He just had a bad situation when he was in Tennessee. I don't think he should have been fired.
Daboll did not work. Gerard Mayo did not work. Okay.
I think that was roster. Wolf. That team sucked. Like,
they did.
Ain't nobody winning with that roster that the Pats had last year.
Man, I feel bad for the guy. I honestly do. I feel a little bit bad for Brian Daboll based on what the GM, Joe Shane, and the ownership of this organization is giving him as a roster year over year.
This is why you don't take bad jobs. If you're a good coach, don't take bad jobs.
Avoid it like the plague. 913-586-7965. I don't want to have to keep doing this, but I think I'm going to have to try to come to the defense of the Chargers again when we come back. Somebody in the text line is throwing out some outlandish claims, in my opinion, regarding Justin Herbert, and I kind of got to clear the air on that. So we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to After Hours, Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Few minutes left here on tonight's Monday edition of After Hours. I got a couple of things I want to react to here. The first one, somebody in the text line said that, bro, Justin Herbert sucks. Stop putting him in the top five because your pre-draft analysis was completely wrong. Justin Herbert's not a top five quarterback in the NFL. I would never put him in the top five. Maybe he's borderline top 10. But to say that he sucks is not correct. Since he arrived in the NFL, he's got 137 touchdown passes to 45 interceptions. That is the seventh highest of any quarterback in the NFL. And some of the guys ahead of him are Drew Brees, who played 1 year. That was the 2020 season. C.J. Beathard, who has only got seven touchdowns to one pick because he's a backup. Aaron Rodgers, Caleb Williams, who's only played 1 year in the league, Tom Brady, and Lamar Jackson. Justin Herbert does not suck as a quarterback. He's got a 3.04 touchdown to interception ratio in his career, and he averages close to 4,000 yards a season. Justin Herbert is a quality quarterback in the NFL. So to say he sucks is incorrect, in my view. Another person, so we were talking about the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Somebody said technically Vrabel isn't a part of the coaching tree. He didn't coach under him, but he played under him for 8 years. So I kind of lump him into that because of it. Otherwise, the Bill Belichick coaching tree is a dumpster fire. Listen to some of these names. The top name is probably Nick Saban, who was not a great NFL coach, but obviously the greatest college football coach of all time. Bill O'Brien, Brian Flores, Al Groh, who was a head coach for 1 year with the Jets. They went 9-7 his 1 year with the Jets and ended up coaching in college after that.
Go listen to that man's interviews. He was bad.
Yeah. Brian Daboll.
Didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Eric Mangini. Yeah. Romeo Crennel. I think we can all collectively, as Chiefs fans, cringe at that one.
Romeo Crennel was funny.
Josh McDaniels, yikes. Matt Patricia, yikes. Joe Judge, yikes. That's the Bill Belichick coaching tree. If you don't lump Vrabel in there, woof.
I mean, Joe Judge should have never got a job. Like, never. Like, there was nothing about him that. There's nothing about him that should make you believe that he should have got a head coaching job.
Yeah, I don't know. How he got a head coaching job, how Adam Gase got two, I will never understand. Somebody's talking about Herbert's playoff stats. Okay, sure. I'm not saying that he's a top five quarterback in the NFL, but I think he's borderline top 10, and I think he's a quality quarterback in the NFL. And if he had a better roster makeup, he could be a playoff quarterback. Somebody pointed out the 28-point, the blown lead they had against the Jaguars a few years back. He didn't give up 31 points. He didn't cause Austin Eckler to rush for 35 yards in a playoff game. He did the best he could.
He did throw a bunch of picks in that game, though.
No, Trevor Lawrence did. Justin Herbert didn't throw a pick in that game, and they still lost 31-30.
I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I just don't think he's that great. Like, to me, he's Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers was a very good NFL quarterback. He was just not a great quarterback.
I would agree.
You put up nice stats. You give your team a chance every year. You're not going to make the playoffs all the time because you're not a big difference maker like that. But you know what? You can go beat the best teams in the NFL, and, you know, you're probably going to lose to some of the worst teams every now and then, but you're going to be competitive in most games you play.
Yeah, and I think borderline top 10 means that you're a good quarterback in the National Football League. You're not top five. You're not great. He's not an MVP contender.
No.
But to say that he sucks,
I just think the problem is a lot of people get annoyed because they feel like he gets a little bit too much credit at times.
Yeah.
Because he's a media darling quarterback, kind of like Joe Burrow is. Gets a little bit too much credit sometimes.
Agreed. I agree. I agree with you completely, but I'm just not of the opinion that he just outright sucks.
Yeah, he doesn't suck. I do think he's a bit overrated, but I don't think he sucks.
Somebody else in the text line said the Chiefs need to honestly get some fresh meat in there. Pillars stay, obviously, with Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, etc. Get the whole O-line redone with some fresh coaches and make sure these dudes actually are training in the offseason.
They're training in the offseason,
and that's you are approaching a dangerous territory there. When you start messing with the makeup of the roster, you reach a level where it's like, are you doing too much?
I just think the assumption that they don't train in the offseason is silly.
That's crazy. But don't go. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You lost in the Super Bowl. You didn't go 6-11. Let's not go rocking the boat because you risk the boat tipping over and everybody drowning. Let's take a beat. That'll do it for this Monday night edition of After Hours for Chris Unocero, our producer. I'm Logan Weber. We out. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.